Every week here on KNKX, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show Sound Effect. There's always a theme, and this next story is about the beat that goes on. I'll let Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer explain.
Back in the late 60s, before there was the Seattle Weekly or The Stranger, there was The Helix,
which was a tabloid-sized newspaper, and it was filled with news of what we called then the counterculture, which was largely the culture of youth that were not keen on the Vietnam War, but were and rather enjoyed each other's company and sometimes liked to smoke a little dope.
That's Paul Dorpat, the editor and publisher of The Helix from 1967 to 1970. He says during that time, the newspaper was the incubator for all kinds of schemes and conspiracies. And one of their most notorious came in 1968. It was a stunt, one that would lead to a pioneering music festival that became the template for a generation-defining event called Woodstock. But first, the stunt. It began with the idea to invite thousands of people to the tiny town of Duval, Washington, to watch a piano dropped from a helicopter.
I can't say exactly how it came into Jug's head. Jug's the name of the guy, the nickname, Larry Vanover, who was a creative, brilliant guy, a wheeler dealer, a bit of a crook, but a charitable, a charming crook. And he is no longer with us, so he can't be here to defend himself. It came to him, really. It came to him. And it has a very Dada quality to it. It is, it's absurd, you know, drop a piano. But we were doing all sorts of strange things. This is part of what life was about then, was arranging strange parties.
Is it correct that part of the genesis of this idea was something that was heard on Crab Radio involving the bashing a part of a piano with a bunch of sledgehammers?
I think I've heard that too.
What was the point of the woodpile? Why did you want to drop it on that?
It was there. Yeah, it was there. Larry looked over his property. He said, that would be the place to drop the piano on the woodpile. Right in a ravine, sort of in a crotch. And then his house was on one side. He was still building it. And then the sides of the ravine, the two sides, let's say, were just crowded with hundreds upon hundreds of people. That was really idiotic. If a wooden thing falling from 400 feet with some weight and velocity hit another wooden thing, it would probably send missiles into the tender flesh of those in that crowd. I don't think anybody ever thought of the possible consequences of that. I certainly didn't until I saw the piano basically just pivoting underneath the helicopter and hanging over a crowd of about 3,000 people.
What do you remember about what was going through your head at that moment?
I was anxious as heck.
How did you convince a helicopter pilot to participate in this scheme?
He was shaken. He didn't really trust that he could pull it off. But yet, Larry probably was convincing enough to actually get him up in the air, dragging his piano behind him. And you could see it. You look up there above it, as I did up there with that microphone in my hand, and behind me is Country Joe and the Fish, the band of the day, and I could see it swaying. I think, look down, and then I'd look down at the crowd and I'd say, how the heck is he going to do this?
Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all going.
Then something dropped from it, probably something for him to look at how the wind was, as if the wind on that still dead day was going to push a helicopter around. And then he managed to let the helicopter go. And there is, I'm pretty sure in my heart, and I'm sure in many other hearts, that's when the stomach went to the throat. Because you're seeing this thing come down and you're feeling a revolution in your own body. It's partly a fear, partly just sensational excitement to see a helicopter flying out of the sky headed for its goal, which is to crash into a wood pile, which it didn't do, but in the soft grass, wet from a recent rain, between the wood pile and the horseshoe crowd.
What did it sound like?
It didn't sound like much. It sounded a squish, you know, something like that.
Was that anticlimactic?
No, it was It was life restoring. It was renewing. It was a delight to hear that it not crash. Well, you could hear the strings a bit, like sort of like that, but the spot of contact, of crashing, was swarmed by the devotees who took souvenirs.
Oh, they took pieces of the debris?
Yeah, they took pieces of the debris. And this guy had a pickup truck, so he waited for the rest of us to get the little stuff out of there, clean it up, then he went in there with his truck and hauled away the harp. And that survives, and it's up in a friend's garage north of town, which he will not reveal the location.
So how did the piano drop connect to the Sky River Music Festival, which happened just a few months later?
That's easy to say, and it's kind of a miracle that we could get so much done that quickly. We did the piano drop, and then right away we realized, my God, we could do this in a larger fashion with a festival. The first Sky River in 1968, although it was a year after the Monterey Pop, was distinguished from the Monterey Pop because it was not done in a prepared space. That is, one that was always there, like a county fairgrounds. Rather, it was on a farm up outside of Sultan, Washington, and welcomed several thousand people to see a lineup of maybe, 30, 40 bands, some of them well-known, like the Grateful Dead.
So it gave you the idea, or it let you know that it was possible?
Yes, that's the best way of putting it. By God, if 3,000 plus people will drive out on a two-lane country road to come to a piano drop in a place they don't know, give them 40 acres and latrines, then they're going to probably come and enjoy, have a good time. But it was also nationally important, whether it knew it or not, that primacy of our event. It was known around, I think the Rolling Stone made a point of it at some point, and it should be given a little respect. Just means like giving applause to something that's done well and done early.
So we don't know for sure that, like, for example, the Woodstock organizers had it in mind, but it certainly...
We do know, actually, that they were aware of that. We don't want to take responsibility for the mess they made anyway, do we? I mean, although it was marvelous.
In what way does the piano drop in the festival represent a specific time and place?
Well, it was so alive and so brilliant and charming and strange, and it was so effective in terms of helping stop a cruel war. It was an important effort, which was imagination trying to express itself and please the people, please ourselves and please the people.
Paul Dorpat lives in Seattle.